Money FM 89.3. Best of breakfast. Mind your business. Only on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for staying with us here on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly with Lindley Fu. Now time to talk tiny homes. And with skyrocketing housing loan rates making property investors having second thoughts about buying housing units, what are the options if you're looking at perhaps investing in overseas property? And if you're looking at perhaps investing in a tiny home with something that's 90% cheaper than an average Singaporean one better condo and fetches around 10% rental income each year, sound attractive or perhaps too good to be true?
Well, believe it or not, hundreds of Singaporeans are already investing in such homes, tiny homes in Australia and New Zealand. Is this a viable investment option for property lovers here? We have in our studio this morning, Adrian Chia, co-founder and CEO of Big Tiny, a Singapore-based company that operates across three countries since 2017. Welcome, Adrian.
A very good morning. Thank you for having us here today.
Adrian, it's good to have you with us. And we've got to start off and ask you, how tiny are these tiny homes?
I would say it's like a 20-footer container size. It's 6 meters long by 2.5 meters, making it roadworthy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. So maybe you can share with us how the concept of tiny homes came about.
Sure. The business started in 2017. It has been a good 5 years to 6 years. When we first started, the idea was actually to provide a getaway for busy city dwellers like ourselves to recharge ourselves and reconnect ourselves closer to nature. But of course, when we think about reconnecting with nature, it's always about camping or glamping. But being Singaporeans, we would want something more comfortable with our aircon or our queen size bed. So that was how we decided to use tiny houses on wheels to start the whole concept in Australia itself.
So tell us, looking at this tiny house on wheels, what are the key differences between that and a one-bedder condo, perhaps?
Right. So maybe just to share, the first key difference was that it is not a property per se. We regard it more like a car, or to be specific, it's like a caravan.
Okay.
Oh. And of course, secondly, in terms of the price difference, a condo in Singapore's context would be almost at about 900,000 for one bedder. But for tiny houses, it's at 90,000 per unit. And of course, if we look at a one-bedder condominium, we are looking at a $3,000 rental income on a monthly basis. But at 90,000 for tiny houses, we can get the same $3,000 rental revenue.
And I mean, just breaking down the dollars and cents, so you've put across the cost of the tiny home as well as rental income. But what other costs are associated? I mean, are there taxes? Are there land costs? And we're also coming on the back of the pandemic. So I'm sure there were other costs associated there. So maybe you can walk us through perhaps the monthly costs associated with the properties.
Right. So maybe just to explain a bit more on our $3,000 rental revenue. So what we do is that tiny houses rent out for about $200 to $300 a night.
Okay.
So even if we do a 50% occupancy, which is 15 nights times by $200, that's how we arrive at $3,000. Mm-hmm. And of course, in terms of the cost itself, when we first started the business, there are a lot of Singaporeans who caught us and say, hey, can I own a tiny house? But given that I can't put it in Singapore, can I get you guys to manage the unit for us? Mm. So for us, we try to make it simple for our purchasers, for our tiny house owners. That's where after they buy, we will rent the unit back from them and we will manage on their behalf. And we will pay for a number of things so that we keep it simple for our clients. Things like maintenance, things like the taxes, the corporate taxes, even insurance are borne by the company itself. And of course, marketing costs will also be borne by Big Tiny.
Okay. So what about the tenure, though? How long do they own these houses for?
Right. So this is not a house per se. So it's not a freehold or a 99-year whole leasehold. Mm-hmm. So just like a car, we take reference to the materials that we use on the house. And of course, materials selected, when we do a financial projection, the materials selected can last for a good 20 to 30 years. But for financial projection-wise, the units, we actually use a 15 to 20 years lifespan for projection itself.
Now, with rising housing loan rates here, people are looking at other investment options, right? Have you seen a growing demand in property investors looking to park their cash in tiny homes?
There's a very interesting question, because as of last year, 2022, we hit a record high of sales for tiny homes itself. And towards the end of the year, we do see a lot of inquiries coming in. Of course, people are looking to diversify. Besides buying their first property, they are looking into buying tiny houses. And of course, some reasons is because of the rising housing rates, the additional buyer stamp duty, for instance. So because this is not a property per se, they are not affected by the ABSD.
That's interesting. And Ryan's just popped quite a good question that links to that here. And that is, you know, you reference that these are kind of like cars, and they're kind of a car housing hybrid. Does that mean that they qualify for housing loans and car loans as well?
Okay. There are loans available for tiny houses as well. But from what we are seeing, most of the Singaporeans are buying it in full, mainly because if they're buying a condo, they have to pay 20% cash of down payment-wise. So this, for just with the down payment, they can actually buy two units, for instance.
How many of such tiny homes are there now? And how long does it take to build one?
Okay, so at the moment, we have almost or more than 200 units across Australia and New Zealand. We have our own production plan in Malaysia and in Singapore. What we do is actually we prefab our tiny houses, flat pack them like IKEA furniture, ship them into Australia, and we get our team to build them up. And interestingly, a house like this can be assembled by a team of 3 persons in just under 3 hours.
Wow.
My
it's
goodness.
Like putting together a Lego set.
Yes.
Speaking of Lego sets, Adrian's brought in the studio with him some very tiny homes. Adrian, perhaps you can walk us through what you've got in front of you and tell us more about these models. Are these the typical tiny homes that we would see? I mean, obviously not Lego size, but is this the layout we would expect from your tiny homes?
Right. So at the moment, we are having two designs in Singapore where we are selling it to Singaporeans. One design is actually right in front of me, and this is actually the loft, the unit with a loft design.
Okay.
So you can sleep 2+2. It has a loft and a sofa bed at the bottom. The whole house is fully furnished, be it whether it's a bathroom, the living room, the bedroom. So everything comes turnkey. So that is something that we try to make it simple for our clients.
Okay. Aircon?
Yes, definitely.
Very important for some. Yes. And the other one that you've got here to your left.
Yes, the other unit is actually the same size, but it's just that it is lower in height. It's a single-story unit. We realise that a lot of youngsters actually love this unit as well, mainly because it has a lot of glass. It makes photo Instagrammable. So that's how it looks like, for instance.
I see. So Adrian's just held up. It is almost an entirely transparent unit that's about the size of a container. How big is this unit?
It's like a 20-footer container that you see on the road, for instance.
Okay, that's interesting.
So, talking about on the road, you know, property is always about location. Do people actually take this out on the road?
Okay, we do have a lot of requests coming in, but compared to a caravan, which is meant for daily drive to pull around, this is much higher so that it provides comfort to our guests. So we encourage them not to tow it or pull it on a daily basis. But the beauty for this is that once we put it into a scenic location, in the event if there is a change of location where there's a better scenery, you can easily pull it to another location. So at the end of the day, this is a property that location does not matter anymore because it can change anytime.
And speaking of the location, how does it work when you're in Australia, for example? You are renting the land to hold and host the properties on, or what's the structure?
So what happens is that we are building an ecosystem, bringing together our tiny house owners and our property owners in Australia.
I see.
So we do have people that owns farmstay, vineyards, horse riding centres, for instance. These are people that have vast property, and just by having a small plot of land with good scenery, they can put in a tiny house. So we do a profit share model with our property owners.
Now, Adrian, you mentioned Australia and New Zealand. You had some plans prior to the pandemic, right, to expand into Bintan, Indonesia and Malaysia. Mm. Has the pandemic affected those plans?
Okay, the pandemic has affected the business positively. That's good news for us.
Really? Okay, yes. That's
so
interesting.
The main thing was actually because of the pandemic, people actually prefer to be closer to nature. They do not want to go to crowded places. So that's why tiny houses, which is close to nature, increase in terms of demand. If we compare it to pre-pandemic, mm-hmm. our bookings actually jumped by more than double. Whoa. In terms of booking rates.
And
during that period, we decided to focus more on the domestic market, and we opened up new markets. Besides Australia, now we are already in New Zealand. We also have units in Europe, Italy specifically, and we also have units in Taiwan. And of course, interestingly, back to Singapore. Singapore will also have a project coming up. We will share more details subsequently, and it will be in the Southern Island.
Oh, okay. When can we expect that?
Yes, you can expect the news to be released sometime towards March or April.
We're almost there, Adrian. Give us a preview.
Definitely. So it's in the Southern Islands.
Okay. Southern Islands. We're trying. We're trying, guys. Okay. I've got a quick question for you from an investment perspective. So we've spoken about the cost. We've spoken about rental yield. We've spoken about other loans and such. But from a liquidity perspective, say, for example, I want to exit on this investment. How do I sell my tiny home?
Right. So we do have a few options. So clients or our owners can actually mm-hmm. have the option to sell the unit back to us. So that allows us to build up our own portfolio of tiny houses over the years. And on top of that, just about 3 to 4 years back, we bought over a company, an Australian company, which actually deals with online portal, which allows our clients to lease and sell their tiny houses in the resale market. And even in terms of the resale value, what we see, the trending in the past few years is that when we first started, a tiny house brand new would sell for about 60 to 70,000. Mm-hmm. Today's context, fast forward 5 years, a fully furnished unit same size like ours will be selling between 100 to 120,000.
Oh, that's double.
Right. So, of course, it's because of the increase in demand, material price, etc. And, of course, that affected the resale value of tiny houses as well.
I see. Adrian, do you have a favorite tiny home moment?
Definitely. So every time when we visit Australia, we would definitely have to stay in a tiny house. And even for myself, when I brought my whole family over, wow. It's a family of five. And of course, we managed to stay in one tiny house.
That's fun.
That's fun. And kids love it because it's close to nature. They get to enjoy the farm stay.
Okay. Beautiful. And so do you live in a tiny home now here in Singapore?
Singapore-wise, I live in a tiny apartment.
Okay. Well, Adrian, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you in the studio to share all about your tiny homes. What do you think, Lynn?
Very, very fun. I'll look into it.
Thank you for having us here.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adrian.
We've been speaking with Adrian Cha, co-founder and CEO of Big Tiny here on Money FM 89.3, talking all about tiny homes, investing in tiny homes, whether or not it's size that matters or location, location, location. You are listening to Money FM 89.3. We are Singapore's most influential radio station.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.